Radio City Tour. The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
11 minutes past 8 o'clock. With that 1-1 draw against West Brom, it means that Liverpool will only be playing in Europe next season if they can win in Basel on Wednesday night. Let's talk to a man who'll be there in that oh-so-famous Swiss stadium, Tony Barrett from The Times. Morning to you, Toe.
Morning, Steve.
Yesterday's game, I think the only interesting element of this, obviously there was a great goal by Ide, but the reintroduction of Henderson, and as well as that, Danny Ings, a pair of those two, they might just make the bench Wednesday?
Henderson certainly will do. He looked sharp when he came on, to be fair, considering he's been out for a month. And I think that was Klopp's way of testing him. He basically said to him, I need you to play. I need you to be involved at some point before the end of the season if you're going to be involved in the final. I think with Danny Ings, it's a little bit different, and I need to check this, but I'm pretty sure he's not on the UEFA squad list that Liverpool resubmitted in January, February time. So he won't be involved. But for Danny Ings, just to be on a football pitch again, just 7 months after suffering what was a really bad knee injury. And I know from speaking to some of the staff at Liverpool that they think that he's come back from a cruciate knee ligament injury better than anyone they've ever experienced. And I think that says a lot about his attitude, his desire to play, and how much he wants to do well for Liverpool. So to have both those players back on the pitch was the big plus for Liverpool yesterday. It was a game that didn't matter. Everyone knew that. Mm. Everyone on the ground knew it. West Brom went through the motions. Liverpool went through the motions. There was a couple of good goals, as you mentioned, but besides that, not a great deal happened. So it was all about getting those players back on the pitch playing.
It's been absolutely underwhelming, hasn't it, as a Premier League season?
Yeah, it has. It has, and it's one of those. But equally, it's one of those that if you look at, if you break it down into chunks, you can see how easily it could have been better. And I know that that's the same for every team in different ways. But Liverpool, there's a few extremes. Obviously, they had a bad season, a bad start to the season under a manager who was, I think was on borrowed time from last April, May. And I think we all knew that. And that bad start was then compounded by the fact you change manager, and he has a period of getting used to players, getting used to league, and then at the end of the season you have a month, maybe a little bit longer, where the team's focusing on another competition. So if you take all those three things, those three variants, they wouldn't happen in an average season. You wouldn't necessarily get to a final, certainly not a European final. You wouldn't be changing manager and having everything that goes with that, and those problems that are caused by those issues, They affect your points total. And Liverpool only finished 6 points behind Manchester City, so there is plenty of room for improvement. And I also think, I think everyone can see that there's a number of players who just haven't been good enough, and that's the thing that you can affect most. That's the thing that you look at in the summer and say Liverpool need to go into the market, and they need to make quite a lot of changes. Not as many as maybe people thought back in October, but certainly enough to expect a lot of incomings and quite a few outgoings.
I was talking to someone yesterday who said, I can't believe Liverpool are in a European final. They were absolutely sort of aghast at this idea that this season, with the squad they got to a European final. If you stand back and look at it, it's pretty amazing. It has echoes of 2005 in many ways, doesn't it? But it's a remarkable achievement.
No, it is. And with the squad that was inherited, Steve, that no one was predicting this. And I think that's where you've got to take it back to. It's all well and good looking at what they've done against Borussia Dortmund, what they've done against Manchester United, what they've done against Villarreal. But this was a team that back in September had about 58 shots, I think it was, and scored one goal against Carlisle United.
Yeah.
And it's now become, I think, the highest scoring team in the Premier League in this calendar year, so in 2016. So those kind of improvements. And I just think the biggest thing of all, Klopp's improved the fitness, he's improved the will to win, he's improved the team spirit, and he's improved the structure of the team. But I think more than anything else, he's improved the big game mentality, and that has certainly shown in Europe. That Borussia Dortmund game, and I know the 4-3 at Anfield was the sensational one and the one that will live longest in the memory. But I thought the away game was just as significant in other ways, because Liverpool went to a great stadium away from home against one of Europe's best teams. And I think anyone who watches Dortmund will recognise that. And they drew 1-1, they got the away goal, and it was a consummate away performance in Europe. And that was the kind of performance that I don't think we've seen for far too long from Liverpool. And I just think that fits in with the idea that they are now ready to play big games against big opposition. And it obviously doesn't get any... I know Sevilla won't be as big an opposition as Borussia Dortmund, but the occasion of a European final is certainly no bigger or better than that.
We mentioned this stat before. Sevilla are the only team in Europe's top five leagues who haven't won an away game in their league this season. They're obviously pretty bad at travelling.
No, they aren't. I think that if there is a problem, Filippo, going into this final, because I think they're well rested, and obviously they spent yesterday training while the reserves were playing at West Brom. I think the issue is that there is a little bit of overconfidence creeping in. I think the fact that they have won so well against Dortmund, VRL and United, and I think the belief in Klopp, I think people are looking at Sevilla's record and thinking, yeah, Liverpool should win this. And I think there's a danger in that, because when Sevilla were knocked out of the Champions League earlier this season, they focused all their energies on winning the Europa League. And I think it was one of their local papers, I don't know, it was a front page or back page story, that basically said that now go and win the Europa League for the third time. And there's been so much focus on that for Sevilla that you just have to look at them as dangerous opponents in that respect alone. And that's without looking at some of the quality players they have. So I think it's a very dangerous game for Liverpool, and I think it's one that they have to treat as big as any that they played in the competition so far, because if you don't go in with that mentality, you can come unstuck. And whether they think Sevilla is good as Villarreal or Borussia Dortmund is irrelevant in the final. It's a one-off, and if you don't get it right on that day, it's all over. So the mentality has to be as good as it possibly can be, regardless of their away record.
Now, how much are you looking forward to this final? We've both been out there, of course, the Basel 3, Liverpool 3 game in the Champions League. So we've seen it. We understand what the problems could be. There's obviously this perception it's not a big enough stadium. It isn't. There'll be loads of extra fans heading there. And it's not exactly a city that's full of things to do anyway. Do you perceive any sort of problems on the horizon ticketing-wise?
Yeah, loads, Steve. I go back to 2007 in Athens, and the build-up to that was all kinds of warnings to fans that there was going to be no turnstiles at the stadium, that it was basically an athletics ground that was going to be converted for the day to a football stadium, that there wasn't enough tickets, all the problems that we used to. And these go back for decades, let's not forget that. We've grown accustomed to UEFA picking stadiums that aren't fit for purpose. And that's certainly the case in this respect. And that's my worry, Steve, that the supporters are basically being set up to fail, because people said don't travel without tickets, and in an ideal world, no one would do that. But once you're through to the final, the flights start going up, the hotel prices start going up. There's some like 60 hotels in Basel itself. So if you want a hotel room, if you want a flight, you have to book within 24 hours, otherwise you've got no chance. But you don't know whether you're going to get a ticket for 2, 3, 4, 5 days after that, maybe longer. Some people are still getting tickets. So the logistics of that just don't fit in with the idea of going without a ticket. If they want people to not travel without tickets, then they should make it easier for them to know sooner whether they're going to have one or not. I don't know how you do that, but these kind of things are never examined. UEFA basically just set fans up to fail, and that's my worry. There's going to be a lot of fans out there without tickets. And as you say, Basel, I've been there quite a few times, and I can't think of many cities that have less infrastructure for a big European final. I think if it was Sevilla against Villarreal, you probably wouldn't have this problem. If it was Liverpool against Borussia Dortmund or Manchester United, you would have a massive problem. As it is, Sevilla v Liverpool, we know that the stadium will be three-quarters of Liverpool, because we already see all the black market tickets that go to the UEFA's football family had already been bought up by Liverpool fans. So there are so many potential problems, and all we can do is hope that it goes without a hitch. It would be surprising if it does, but obviously that would be what we're all hoping for.
Yeah, and we know Liverpool fans go to any length. I know a fan who's actually bought three tickets and paid £2,000 for each of those tickets.
Wow.
To actually get to the game. You know, I know this guy very well, but he was just determined to be there. Didn't come out of the ballot. Said it was something he just wasn't missing.
Well, that's the thing. It's all well and good saying don't go without a ticket, but the mentality is you follow your team, and if your team's in the final, you want to be there. And obviously 10,000 tickets when you've had 40-odd thousand going to every game at Anfield, it doesn't even come close to matching demand. And these kind of problems are very easily solved if you do choose a stadium that's fit for purpose. And if you look at what's happening at Manchester United, they're putting on a game with 2 days' notice. The game that's taking place tomorrow against Bournemouth wasn't supposed to be happening. So I don't know why it's so difficult for UEFA to put on two stadiums to start the season, say the final will be in one of these, depending on the teams that get there, because we always know about the problems of teams basically having home advantage, of Roma playing in Rome, of Manchester United playing at Wembley, Liverpool playing at Wembley, and those kind of issues. I don't know why they don't tackle them and just say there are two stadiums available for this year's final and we will choose when we know the final start. And that would also cut out some of the ticketless problems that we have, because fans would be able to book a little bit later as well. And there's just so many issues that they set up just by their own mismanagement of what is, I agree, it's a difficult situation, but they do make it worse.
Crazy stuff. So when does the press trip head out? Is it tomorrow morning? Is there a press conference tomorrow?
Is there not?
It's no, find your own way.
Everyone's find their own way, which is as much fun as you can imagine.
Well, that's unusual.
There's people going by various routes and getting two or three planes and whatever else. And
so what's your route, Toe?
Well, my route, I'm on the Ryanair flight from Liverpool, so I'm okay, but I haven't got a press pass. Because like everywhere else in the ground, the press box is too small for what is a huge occasion.
Wow.
So every paper's had its allocation reduced, which is an issue that's neither here nor there as far as the fans are concerned and as far as the game is concerned. But for us, it's logistically difficult, so I don't have a press pass at the minute. So I am going. I suppose UEFA would see me as a ticketless fan at the moment, but I have to be there to cover the build-up, so we'll just see what happens once I'm there.
Absolutely incredible. I just see that the route is being printed this morning for a possible homecoming. We've seen some wonderful homecomings in the past, 2005 and 6. This one will be Thursday at 5 p.m. Should any fans, well, actually, most fans will be back in the city anyway, won't they, Tony, if it happens?
Yeah, I've always got mixed feelings about it being the day after the final, because obviously when Liverpool won in Istanbul, the majority of the fans who went out and saw that game didn't get to see the cup being brought home, and I always thought that was a shame. But I think from the club's point of view and the players' point of view and a lot of them going to the Euros, it needs to be done at the earliest possible opportunity, and there will be plenty back, as you say. It's different. Switzerland's a lot different than Istanbul. It's much easier to travel to and from, so the majority of fans will be there for it if it does happen. And I know clubs and councils get a lot of stick when they plan this kind of event and it doesn't happen because the team doesn't win the final, but you have to do it. You can't wait until 10 o'clock on Wednesday night or half 10, 11 o'clock after the penalty shootout to say, you know what, we need to organise a homecoming parade. It has to be done in advance, and the hope of Liverpool City Council and Liverpool Football Club will be that the plans are realised and the event does take place, and obviously that would be brilliant for the city, that we know what that type of homecoming's been like in the past. And it is. It's a fantastic event for Liverpool, and that's the most important thing of all for the city, for its image, for its reputation around the world. It does send those kind of pictures around the globe that just shows the city in a wonderful light, and hopefully we'll see that again on Thursday.
Tony, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your trip to Switzerland.
Cheers, Steve. Good to speak to you.
Tony Barrett, ticketless football fan, Times correspondent.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.